This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على من بعث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله عاجله وآجله. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. We begin with the name of Allah, seeking His blessings and success from Him and His protection. And we bear witness that no one is worthy of worship except Allah alone. And we ask Allah to teach us that which benefits us and to allow us to benefit from that which He has taught us and to increase us in beneficial knowledge. Brian, you're here. Did you come before on Wednesday night? This is the first time? Welcome. Such a pleasure to have you. Ahlan wa sahlan. Our dear brother and anybody else that happens to be stopping by for the first time, Ahlan wa sahlan. Jazakallah khairan. Marhaban. MashaAllah. I'm a jibilna zabayn, mashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. You guys heading out? Okay. MashaAllah, Habib. Your smile brings us joy, Brian. Thank you for coming. So for those of you that are with us for the first time, what we do here in this class, the class is called Breeze of Mercy. And a lot of people are like, what does that mean? I don't know what it means, okay? It's a nice breeze and it brought mercy and it's just a nice title, okay? Just let it go. But what we're talking about here is we are talking about Mu'amalatu Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The dealings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'm watching you tonight. Huh? I'm watching you. But you're too far away. If I want to throw something, okay. So we have a secret deal between us. We're talking about the dealings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he dealt with different individuals, different types of individuals, different segments of society, etc. And the idea behind that is so we can get an accurate example and roadmap for how to behave. Very often we hear about the life of the Prophet ﷺ and we hear different stories from his life, and that's really enjoyable. I like it. Maybe it's not enjoyable to other people, but I enjoy it. But many times we are so caught up in the history and the historical events that perhaps we are not spending enough time talking about how the Prophet ﷺ behaved and how he acted. So those discussions and those classes have their merits, and we need them. Inshallah, we'll have more of them. But what we aim to do here is look at different narrations and look at it from a more thematic perspective. Not chronological and not necessarily historical, but let's look at those narrations where the Prophet ﷺ is described, how he dealt with different people. And then we can get a practical example for how we should be dealing with these different people. We are almost 50% through this text that we've been chipping away at. And we just concluded last week the chapter of the Prophet's dealings with those that experienced different types of difficulties and calamities in their life, and how the Prophet was supportive for them. So that was really interesting. So now we're starting a new chapter tonight, which is Ta'amulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ma'al fuqara. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dealings with people that were economically poor, economically had less than others in society around them. And before we actually delve into any of the narrations, poverty is not something praiseworthy in Islam. For a Muslim, it's not necessarily something praiseworthy, but it does not define or reflect on the status of that person, ever. Meaning that poverty or wealth are not what determines the virtue or the status of an individual, neither in this life nor in the hereafter. So we find the Prophet ﷺ, some of his closest companions had a tremendous amount of wealth. And we find some of his other companions having absolutely nothing. Literally nothing. I mean, nowadays when we say nothing, it's like very little. But when we say nothing, I mean nothing. Meaning they had one article of clothing that they wore and that was it. Not even a second one to wear on laundry day. Not even that. And we find they were very close to the Prophet ﷺ. So we see that he had those kinds of close relationships and associations. And what's amazing is we see these two different demographics also having that kind of relationship and closeness. So oftentimes when we hear about Sahaba that had a lot of wealth, we hear names like Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Uthman ibn Affan and others. But we also hear about Sahaba that had nothing. Mus'ab ibn Umayr and Abu Hurairah, different companions like that. They were all Sahaba together. They all shared the same society and they lived in the same community together. And they supported and helped each other in different ways. And that's really amazing. Because that's not what we see in our communities and our societies today. Nowadays, people are on levels based on their socioeconomic status, and those levels usually don't mix. So people that are generally on the wealthier side of the spectrum, and that's why you have classes, right? You have middle class, upper class, lower class people based on their household income. And those classes live in the same neighborhoods. So there are certain neighborhoods where you have the average or median income is something. You're not going to find anybody that has less than that. They're not going to afford to be able to live there. And vice versa, you go to places where the median income is very low, you're not going to find anyone with a high salary living there. It just doesn't work like that. I was listening to one gentleman, and he was working as an engineer in Ohio. And he was making a pretty decent salary, like middle class salary. He was working as an engineer, but he had a certain project, certain vision that he was working towards, and it required that he save a lot of money. So he lived in a very poor neighborhood, and he was saying the rent over there was $180 a month. Just like unheard of, right? This is like a city, Cincinnati, Ohio, one of these cities in the Midwest. So that's very strange. You don't usually find someone that has that kind of job, that kind of income, living in those kinds of places. But so it's rare. But the idea is they didn't mix. When we look at the community around the Prophet ﷺ, we see that there was that kind of mixing. And the fact that they had drastically different socioeconomic statuses did not impede those kinds of friendships and relationships. And that's very interesting. Now, from a Sharia perspective, we said a person's wealth does not define or set their status or their virtue. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah yu'ti al-mala liman yuhibbu liman la yuhibbu la yu'ti al-imana illa liman yuhib." Allah gives wealth to those whom He loves and those whom He doesn't love, but He only gives iman to those whom He loves. So a person can have a tremendous amount of wealth. That doesn't mean that God loves them. And a person could have absolutely very little, if not any wealth, and that does not mean that God hates them or that they are being punished. It doesn't necessitate that. We have nothing in the Quran or in the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ that sets those kinds of parameters. So that's just some disclaimers and some information to think about in the get-go. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, first and foremost, before even we talk about his spending, let's talk about how he dealt with money that he got. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يجعل ما يزيد عن حاجته وحاجة أهله من النفقة للفقراء والمساكين. The Prophet ﷺ, when he would have a source of income, whatever it might be, he automatically divided and organized that wealth and would set aside a certain amount from the get-go. So right when it comes into his possession, he's already dedicated a certain portion. We find this narration, which is recorded in the book of Abu Dawood, and we also find similar narrations in Bukhari and Muslim. It's an authentic narration. Umar ibn Khattab narrates, he says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينفق من ماله على أهله ويتصدق بفضله. Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, he says, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he would receive some income, he would spend a portion of it on his family, on his household, and then whatever was a surplus after that, he would give it as sadaqah, or he would dedicate it as charity. So the Prophet ﷺ took care of his responsibilities, took care of his family and his household, those that were under his care and his authority, he took care of their needs. And then anything that exceeded or went over that, the Prophet ﷺ gave it in sadaqah. Umar also says in another narration, after there was the expedition of Khaybar, he says, وَأَمَّا خَيْبَرُ فَجَزَأَهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثَلَاثَةَ أَجْزَاءٍ جُزْئَيْنِ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَجُزْءًا نَفَقَةً لِأَهْلِهِ فَمَا فَضَلَ عَنْ نَفَقَةِ أَهْلِهِ جَعَلَهُ بَيْنَ فُقَرَاءِ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وقد قال صلى الله عليه وسلم كل مال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدقة إلا ما أطعمه أهله وكساهم إنا لا نورث. So after they had the expedition of Khaybar and the Muslim community came upon a large amount of wealth and the Prophet was the leader of that community, so the Prophet divided the wealth into portions. He kept one portion for himself and his family needs, and he divided other portions amongst the Muslim community. Now, even that portion that he took for himself, after he spent and took care of all the needs of his family, he whatever was surplus, he divided it amongst the muhajirun, those that had migrated from Mecca to Medina. And the Prophet said in a narration, which is recorded in Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawood, he said, all the wealth of the Prophet is sadaqah. All of the wealth of the Prophet is sadaqah, except, illa, except that which he takes from it to feed and clothe his family. How is that the case? Well, the Prophet ﷺ said, we, speaking about the prophets and the messengers, our wealth doesn't get inherited. So you and I, we spend on our families and we give some charity, but ultimately when we pass away, when we die, our estate, our assets, our wealth is going to be divided amongst our inheritors. And Allah said that in the Quran. Your children get a certain amount. Your spouse gets a certain amount, etc. It gets divided. Allah set those fractions in the Quran. But when the Prophet ﷺ died, nobody from his family inherited from him. They didn't inherit. It was sadaqah. They don't inherit. So the Prophet ﷺ also said in another hadith that the prophets don't leave behind wealth as in money, but what they leave behind is ilm. They leave behind knowledge. And that's why they say those that seek knowledge, those that learn the knowledge of this religion, those that learn the Quran and the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ, they are inheritors of the Prophet. Because that is his inheritance. The fiscal, the financial inheritance, it doesn't, the Prophets are an exception to that. That just goes to sadaqah, it goes to charity. But if you want to inherit from the... And what's amazing is, money gets inherited by certain people at a certain time, then that money is going to be spent and then it'll go. But you have the opportunity to inherit from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and every single believer has the opportunity to inherit from him until the end of time. All you have to do is dedicate some time and some effort to learning this religion. Then you become an inheritor. You have taken from the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay. Next, كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يتأثر إذا رأى الحاجة في وجوه بعض أصحابه أو هيئتهم. Just by seeing that some of his companions or people in his community had were in a state of need, he صلى الله عليه وسلم would be moved and he would feel discomfort and pain. I was sitting with some nice friends earlier before Maghrib and we were talking about emotional intelligence. You guys remember? So here's an interesting example of that. عن جرير بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال كنا عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في صدر النهار فجاءه قوم حفاة عراة متقلدي السيوف عمتهم من مضر بل كلهم من مضر فتعمر وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لما رأى بهم من الفاقة فدخل ثم خرج فأمر بلالا فأذن وأقام فصلى ثم خطب فقال يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة إلى آخر الآية إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا والآية التي في الحشر يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله تصدق رجل من ديناره من درهمه من ثوبه من صاع بره من صاع تمره حتى قال ولو بشق تمره. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this authentic narration, he was sitting in the middle of the day, في صدر النهار, and a group of people, an envoy or a group of people came from a tribe from an area known as Mudar. And the narrator describes that they were barefoot and they barely had any clothes on their body. And their situation was, you can tell just by looking at them that they're not in good shape. They are not in good shape. So when the Prophet ﷺ saw them, the narrator is saying, فَتَعَمَّرَ وَجْهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He's saying, the face of the Prophet changed. His facial expression, his demeanor changed just when he saw them. The sight of these people brought discomfort to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He had to do something about it. فَدَخَلَ ثُمَّ خَرَجَ. So he went out and he came in. He was moving. He didn't even sit still. Then he told Bilal, who was the muadhin, he told Bilal, call upon all the people, gather everyone. And when the people heard the voice of Bilal, they came, they gathered. It's like, you know, they heard that the Prophet ﷺ is calling you to the masjid. There is an important matter. Something important is going down. You know, like for example, when everyone's phone is buzzing, zzz, zzz, and you get that amber alert, it's like that. Bilal was giving amber alert. Everybody come to the masjid. Something important is about to go down. So when they came, the Prophet began with an introduction of reciting a couple verses from the Qur'an that have to do with taqwa, that have to do with being conscious of Allah, and that have to do with protecting yourself from that which is displeasing to Allah. And after reciting those verses, he said, give sadaqah, give charity, even if it's with your dinar, even if it's just with one, you know, piece of currency, gold or silver. Or if you give sadaqah from a dirham, piece of gold or a piece of silver, or from your clothing, give an article of clothing as charity, or a sa', which is a certain it's a weight, it's a quantity, right? Like how we have pounds and kilos, right? A sa' is a certain quantity. He said a sa' of bur, of some kind of grain, or a sa' of tamar. And he kept on listing all of these different things. Gold, silver, clothes, wheat, barley, dates, whatever you have. Give something from what you have in charity. And he went down the list. He started with the top, like gold, the most expensive commodities. He went through the list, the narrator says, until he said, even if you give a piece of a date as sadaqah, وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. Even if it's half of a date. Like you, if all you have is one date, that's all that you own in the world, then eat half of it and give the other half in sadaqah. فَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ بِصُرَّةٍ كَادَتْ كَفُّهُ تَعْجِزُ عَنْهَا بَلْ قَدْ عَجَزَتْ ثُمَّ تَتَابَعَ النَّاسُ حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ كُمَيْنِ مِنْ طَعَامٍ وَثِيَابٍ حَتَّى رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَتَهَلَّلْ كَأَنَّهُ مَذْهَبَةٌ فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من سن في الإسلام سنة حسنة فله أجرها وأجر من عمل بها بعده من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم شيء ومن سن في الإسلام سنة سيئة كان عليه وزرها ووزر من عمل بها من بعده من غير أن ينقص من أوزارهم شيء. This is a hadith recorded in Muslim. So after the Prophet gave this reminder, and he went through all of these different types of wealth, all of these different assets, Because often when we talk about sadaqah, we think of dollars and cents. It doesn't have to be. It could be in money, it could be in clothing, it could be in food, it can be in time, it could be in physical assistance. All of this is sadaqah. So when somebody came and he brought forward some wealth that he was giving in sadaqah, it was so much that it was spilling out of his hands. He couldn't hold it with his hands. And he put it in front of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, okay, this is my contribution. Bam, there you go. He was the first one. And then people started following. People got motivated when they saw him, that one companion, do that. So one after another. Until the narrator says, after a while, we saw piles, two big piles of food and clothing and money, all of these that people had brought forward in sadaqah. And the narrator says, until I saw the face of the Prophet ﷺ, yatahallal, meaning I saw the face of the Prophet become bright with happiness. Earlier, in the beginning of the narration, he says, when he saw the sight of those poor people, his face changed out of feeling for their pain and their poverty. Then when everybody came forward and gave charity, his face completely changed out of happiness. Those are the things that made the Prophet ﷺ happy. And then he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever initiates a good initiative, whoever initiates a good initiative, then he will have the reward for that action, and he will share in the reward of everyone that followed after him, without taking away from their reward. So everyone's getting 100% reward for their contribution, but the one who initiated is, in addition to getting 100% reward for his contribution, he's also getting a share of everyone that came afterwards. And it's not like he's taking away from their ajr, but he's getting more on top of that. Well, hold on. There is the other side of the equation too. The Prophet ﷺ said, and whoever initiates an evil initiative. So the first one is a good, a virtuous one. من سنة في الإسلام سنة حسنة. A good, a beautiful initiative. Then the Prophet said, وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً. Whoever comes and initiates an evil or a negative initiative, then not only are they going to get the sin for that action, but they will also share in the sin of all of those that followed. Because when you initiate something, people are going to follow. If you are the trend setter. So a lot of people aspire to be trend setters in our culture today. And they like to be followed. It makes people feel important. Like, I did something and now everyone's doing that. And so sometimes you'll hear people oftentimes, like, if there's a certain word or a certain practice, someone's like, oh, I started that. Yeah, I was the first one to do that. And then everybody started doing that when they saw me do it. So if that's something positive, good for you. But if it's something negative, that's not a good situation to be in. That's not a good trend to set. Because you will, it's like a, you know how they say pyramid scheme? It's like a pyramid scheme. So you want to have a good pyramid scheme. You don't want to have a sinful pyramid scheme. قال النووي أما سبب سروره ففرحا بمبادرة المسلمين إلى طاعة الله وبذل أموالهم لله. So why did the Prophet become so happy? Because he saw people sacrificing and pushing forward, taking initiative to sacrifice and do something, seeking reward from Allah. And that made him really happy. That made him really happy, alayhi salatu wasalam. So there is encouragement in this narration of the Prophet ﷺ to take initiatives. I heard one of my teachers say one time that you will find most people are followers. Most people are followers. A few people are leaders. Most people wait for someone else to do something and then they will decide, should I follow or not? The majority of human population, that's how they behave. You ever saw that, like, was it Planet Earth or something? One of these nature documentaries where they show the penguins. You know what I'm talking about, Waleed? You don't watch those kinds of things? They're not interesting to you. You know what I'm talking about, Brian? Is it Planet Earth? I don't know. One of these nature documentaries. So when penguins come to like a cliff, what do? And they want to decide, or like a, or not necessarily a cliff, but like they come to the edge of an ice and they want to decide, should we jump in and swim across, or what should we, or should we not? What do? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Or am I just like in La La Land right now? You know what I'm talking about? What do? Huh? They stand there? Yeah, most of them, like 99% of the penguins, just stand there. And they're like, I'm telling you, YouTube it. Look it up. It's really amazing. Penguins, right? What do? So they're all just standing there, and they look really cute, and they're just sitting there flip-flopping, and they're slipping, and this and that, and this and that. And they can't decide, should we go, should we not? Because they're very indecisive. Should we jump in, should we not? So what do? They push one of them forward. A penguin gets pushed forward. And like, if he works out, all the other penguins just jump in and they follow. And if it doesn't work out, they're like, oh, this is not good. And they turn around, they go somewhere else. Right? Penguins are hilarious. So that's how most people are. Nobody wants to take that first dive forward. Right? And if any of you have attended the plethora of fundraisers that we have in our community, right? You always find the fundraiser, and you know, I always feel bad for them. It's got to be like the worst job ever. They always saying like, who is going to start? Who is going to take the initiative? Who is going to start it off, right? Because there is virtue in Islam for being the one who takes the initiative, because people will follow. You're going to impact others. And so we have encouragement from the Prophet ﷺ to take that initiative. Be the first. Aspire to be the first. If it's something good and positive. If it's something evil, don't try to be at the top of that list. وَكَانَ يُقَدِّرُ مَا فِيهِمْ مِنَ الْحَاجَةِ وَالْفَقْرِ فَيُكْرِمُهُمْ وَيُوَاسِيهِمْ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ وَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ إن كنت لأعتمد بكبدي على الأرض من الجوع وإن كنت لأشد الحجر على بطني من الجوع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in this narration, on the authority of Abu Huraira, how he himself would experience hunger. And that hunger was due to poverty. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself went through chapters and experiences of his life where he himself experienced and tasted firsthand hunger and poverty, not having anything. في رواية البخاري لقد رأيتني وإني لأخر ما بين المنبر والحجرة من الجوع مغشيا علي فيجيء الجائي فيضع رجله على عنقي يرى أن بي الجنون وما بي إلا الجوع. Abu Huraira says, this is a statement of Abu Huraira. This is a statement of Abu Huraira himself, how he would sometimes have hunger. He said, you know, some days would pass, not the Prophet ﷺ, this was Abu Huraira speaking, some days would pass, Abu Huraira would say, I would fall down unconscious next to the minbar, next to the pulpit, in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ from hunger, complete malnutrition. He said, until somebody would come, you know, I would get up and then collapse from hunger. He said, until somebody would come and they would be like, their feet would be at my neck. And they would think, is this person crazy? Are they insane? What's going on with them? Because of the way he is walking, looking like he's dizzy and collapsing and getting up. And he says, I'm not crazy. وَمَا بِي إِلَّا الْجُوعِ It was not insanity. It was just extreme, extreme hunger. وَلَقَدْ قَعَدْتُ يَوْمًا عَلَىٰ طَرِيقِهِمْ الَّذِي يَخْرُجُونَ مِنْهُ فَمَرَّ أَبُو بَكْرٍ فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ آيَةٍ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا سَأَلْتُهُ إِلَّا لِيُشْمِعَنِي فَمَرَّ وَلَمْ يَفْعَلْ So Abu Huraira says, man, I was so hungry, so I went out into the road where people walk. And Abu Bakr came. And so he said, I asked Abu Bakr about a verse in the Quran. And Abu Huraira himself says, and I only asked him about it so that he would give me something to eat. I really was not searching for that question. But he didn't want to say. He was too shy. He didn't want to say, give me food. So he's like, hey, I have a question about this ayah in the Quran. And Abu Bakr would say, maybe he would say, oh, okay, let's go grab a bite and we'll talk about it, you know? And then he would get some food. But it didn't happen. He said, وَلَمْ يَفْعَلْ ثُمَّ مَرَّ بِي عُمَرْ فَسَأَلْتُهُ عَنْ آيَةٍ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مَا سَأَلْتُهُ إِلَّا لِيُشْبِعَنِي فَمَرَّ فَلَمْ يَفْعَلْ وَدَخَلَ دَارُهُ. Says, then Umar came and I did the same thing again. Hey, I have a question about a verse in the Quran. And I only am asking that question because I'm hoping he would give me some food. But it didn't work out. And eventually Umar passed as well and he didn't give him anything and he left. فَمَشَيْتُ غَيْرَ بَعِيدٍ فَخَرَرْتُ لِوَجْهِ مِنَ الْجَهْدِ وَالْجُوعِ. He said, so I kept on walking a little bit more until I fell on my face from hunger and exhaustion. فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ قَائِمٌ عَلَى رَأْسِي فَتَبَسَّمَ حِينَ رَآنِي فَأَخَذَ بِيَدِي فَأَقَامَنِي وَعَرَفَ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَمَا فِي وَجْهِي ثُمَّ قَالْ يَا أَبَا هِرٍ. So when I opened my eyes again, I found the Prophet ﷺ standing over my head. And I looked up at him, and he gave me a big smile. He smiled. And he held my hand, carried me, and led me by my hand. And he knew exactly what it was that I was feeling. And he looked at me and he was able to see in my face, read my face and see what it was that I was feeling. And he said, Ya Aba Hir. He like shortened his name out of like affection. He shortened his name. His name was Abu Huraira, which wasn't his name, it was his nickname anyways. But instead of saying, oh, Abu Huraira, Aba Hirin. قُلْتُ لَبَّيْكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So Abu Huraira said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. قَالَ الْحَقِّ. The Messenger of Allah said, the truth. وَمَضَى فَتَبِعْتُهُ فَدَخَلَ مَنْزِلًا. And so he walked and I followed him, I walked with him. فَاسْتَأْذَنْتُ. But before stepping inside, I sought permission. May I come in? He said, come in. فَأَذِنَ لِي. فَوَجَدَ قَدَحًا مِنْ لَبَنْ فَقَالْ مِنْ أَيْنَ هَذَا اللَّبَنْ. So the Prophet walked inside the house, he found a bowl that had like milk in it. So the Prophet asked the people in his house, his family. He's like, hey, where did you guys get this from? They said, قَالُوا أَهْدَاهُ لَكَ فُلَانَ أَوْ فُلَانَ. They said, such and such person, you know, such and such man or woman gave it to you as a gift. They sent it to your house as a gift. قَالَ أَبَا هِرٍ. So the Prophet called him again. قُلْتُ لَبَّيْكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Abu Huraira said, yes, O Messenger of Allah, what can I do for you? قَالَ الْحَقُّ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الصُّفَّةِ فَادْعُهُمْ لِي. So the Messenger of Allah said, Al-Haq, again, truth, for Ahl al-Suffa, for this community, this group of people that were known as Ahl al-Suffa. He said, go call them. Who are Ahl al-Suffa? They were a group of people that lived inside the masjid. They were muhajirun. They migrated from Mecca to Medina. They had absolutely nothing. That's why they were living in the masjid. They had no home. They had no wealth. Abu Huraira was part of that community. قال, Abu Huraira explains, he says, وأهل الصفة أضياف الإسلام لا يأوون إلى أهل ولا مال ولا على أحد إذا أتته صدقة بعث بها إليهم ولم يتناول منها شيئا وإذا أتته هدية أرسل إليهم وأصاب منها وأشركهم فيها. Abu Huraira explains. He says, look, these Ahl al-Suffa, they have no family, they have no wealth. They're like all alone. So whenever the Prophet ﷺ gets sadaqah, charity, so somebody comes to him and says, hey, this is charity. So what does the Prophet do? He sends it to them entirely. But if somebody comes to him and says, hey, this is a gift for you, then he invites Ahl al-Suffa to come over to his place and he shares it with them. So that's why when he asked about this bowl of milk, they told him, what did they say to him? They said, it's a gift. So he told Abu Huraira, call Ahl al-Suffa. Tell them all to come over. فساءني ذلك. So Abu Huraira was not happy. Why do you think he wasn't happy? Because he wanted it for himself. The guy is dying from hunger. He says himself, Abu Huraira is being totally honest. He says, فَقُلْتُ وَمَا هَذَا اللَّبَنْ فِي أَهْلِ الصُّفَّةِ كُنْتُ أَحَقَّ أَنَا أَنْ أُصِيبَ مِنْ هَذَا اللَّبَنْ شَرْبَةً أَتَقَوَّى بِهَا وَأَنَا رَسُولُهُ إِلَيْهِمْ فَسَيَأْمُرُنِي أَنْ أُدِيرَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ فَمَا عَسَى أَنْ يُصِيبَنِي مِنْهُ وَقَدْ كُنْتُ أَرْجُو أَنْ أَصِيبَ مِنْهُ مَا يُغْنِينِي. So Abu Huraira is mad. He got upset. He's like, man, I really needed something right now. Like, I am literally falling unconscious from hunger. And now the Messenger of Allah is sending me as a messenger to all of these people. And I have to now deliver this laban, this milk, and everyone's going to drink from it. And by the time they all drink, well, guess what? It's going to be finished and there's nothing left for me. And I really wanted some. He's being completely honest. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مِنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَطَاعَةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بُدٌّ فَأَتَيْتُهُمْ فَدَعَوْتُهُمْ فَأَقْبَلُوا فَاسْتَأْذَنُوا فَأَذِنَ لَهُمْ وَأَخَذُوا مَجَالِسَهُمْ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ قَالَ يَا أَبَا هِرٍّ قُلْتُ لَبَّيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ خُذْ فَأَعْطِهِمْ. So he said, you know, Abu Huraira is like, man, I got to obey Allah and his messenger. I have to do this now. So he went and he told Ahl al-Suffa, hey everybody, come over to the house of the Prophet. So they came and they sat down. Each one took a seat. And the Prophet called Abu Huraira again, Abu Huraira, yes, O Messenger of Allah. He said, take this and give it to them. Give it to them, host them. قال فأخذت القدح فجعلت أعطيه الرجل فيشرب حتى يروى ثم يرد علي القدح فأعطيه الرجل فيشرب. So Abu Huraira says, so I took that bowl, that container, and I go one at a time. I give it to the first guy. And he drinks and he drinks and he drinks. And the narration says he drinks until he's completely satiated. So it's not like he just takes a sip. Sip, sip, pass, peace cup. No. He drinks a lot until he's completely full. And he's like, okay, I can't drink anymore. Then he gives me back the bowl. And there's still some in it. I go to the next guy. And he does the same thing. Until حتى انتهيت إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد روي القوم كلهم. He said, until every single one of them drink and I reach the Messenger of Allah and all of them are full. They drank to their fill. Meaning if you were to go back and offer some more, they'd be like, no, I'm full. I'm good. And there's still some left. فأخذ القدح فوضعه على يده فنظر إلي فتبسم فقال أبا هرين. So the Prophet took it and he looked at me and he smiled. And again he said, أبا هرين لبيك يا رسول الله. Yes, O Messenger of Allah. قال بقيت أنا وأنت. The Messenger of Allah said, hey, looks like it's just you and me that is left. Just you and me. قلت صدقت يا رسول الله. Abu Huraira said, yeah, you're right. You are correct. قال أقعد فاشرب. So the Messenger of Allah said, sit down, drink. فَقَعَدْتُ فَشَرِبْتُ. So I drink. And then he stopped. فَقَالَ اِشْرَبْ. The Prophet said, drink some more. Okay. فَشَرِبْتُ. فَمَا زَالَ يَقُولُ اِشْرَبْ حَتَّى قُلْتُ لَا وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقْ مَا أَجِدُ لَهُ مَسْلَكًا. So he kept on doing that. I would drink and stop. And the Messenger of Allah would say, keep drinking. And I would drink and I would stop. And he would say, keep drinking. And I would drink until Abu Huraira swore. And he said, I swear by the one that sent you with the truth, there is no space left for me to drink anymore. I am stuffed. قَالَ فَأَرِنِي. So the Messenger of Allah said, okay, let me take a look at that bowl there. فَأَعْطَيْتُهُ الْقَدَحِ. So Abu Huraira passed him the container. فَحَمِدَ اللَّهَ وَسَمَّى وَشَرِبَ الْفَضْلَ. So he said, Alhamdulillah. And then he said, Bismillah. And he drank all that remained. قَالَ. It's not done. Abu Huraira says, فَلَقِيتُ عُمَر. So after some time, I bumped into Umar. Remember when he bumped into Umar earlier in the story? So again, he bumps into Umar. وَذَكَرْتُ لَهُ الَّذِي كَانَ مِنْ أَمْرِي. And I told him the story. I told him everything that happened. How I talked to Abu Bakr and it didn't work out. And I talked to Umar, it didn't work out. And then I fell on my face, and the Prophet found me, and then he had some milk, and I wanted to drink it. He made me go and get everybody else. And I gave it to everyone, everyone drank, and then I drank until I couldn't drink anymore. Then the Prophet drank. What did Umar say? وَقُلْتُ لَهُ فَوَالَّذِي فَوَاللَّهِ وقلت له سبحان أبو هريرة told him والله لقد استقرأتك الآية ولا أنا أقرأ لها منك. Abu Huraira told him, remember that verse of Quran that I asked you about? He said, I asked you about it, and I swear by Allah, I have more knowledge about that verse than you. But I was just trying to get some food. قال عمر, والله لأن أكون أدخلتك أحب إلي من أن يكون لي مثل حمر النعم. مثل حمر النعم. Umar says, I swear by Allah, I wish if I had taken you inside with me and fed you with whatever I had, that would have been more beloved to me than the most expensive camel out there. Meaning, the most expensive mode of transport. You could fill in the blank with whatever modern mode of transport impresses you today. That would have been more beloved to me that you came inside and I fed you something than for me to have all of that wealth. All of those millions. فكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يفطن للفقير وينتبه لأمارات الجوع البادية عليه فيواسي بها فيواسي بما يستطيع. What's the moral of the lesson here? This is a long, really enjoyable story from the life of Abu Huraira. But the way it relates to our chapter, from the very beginning, Abu Huraira, when he fell on his face and he found the Prophet ﷺ, did he tell the Prophet ﷺ, I'm hungry? Wallahi, he didn't say, I'm hungry. Did he ask the Prophet ﷺ, can you give me something to eat? He did not. But rather, he says, in the narration, himself, he says, وَعَرَفَ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَمَا فِي وَجْهِي. He says, when the Prophet saw me, he knew what I was experiencing. And he read it in my face. That is emotional intelligence. That is the ability to understand what others are experiencing, even though you're not experiencing it at this time. And that's the emotional intelligence that the Prophet ﷺ had and exhibited. He didn't have to tell the Prophet ﷺ, I'm hungry. He was in tune with what people are going through. And then it's part of like preserving their dignity. That you see someone going through something, you come to their aid before they have to be in the situation where they have to ask. Because who likes to ask? Nobody does. Even Abu Huraira didn't want to ask, and he has nothing. If he were to ask, no one would blame him because he's from Ahlul Sufa. He's sleeping in the masjid and he really doesn't have much wealth. The Prophet ﷺ understood and read and picked up on the signals, picked up on the demeanor and the behavior. But you know what? You can only do that if you genuinely care. You can't make that up. You can't, you know, find a guidebook on how to do that on the internet. You have to genuinely care. If you genuinely care, you will notice those signs. And the Prophet ﷺ cared. And he is teaching us as our role model to care. Genuinely be concerned about others. Let's take it a step further. You cannot care and you cannot be genuinely concerned about the needs of others if you are too consumed with your needs and wants always and only. It's not possible. The two can't happen at the same time. If I'm only thinking and worrying and stressing about me and my needs, it's not emotionally possible for me to have the capacity to care about others. It won't happen. And so you see a lot of people in our day and age that are oblivious to what others are experiencing around them. Why? It's because they are so caught up with what they have going on. But if you kind of like tuned away from that for a moment and paid attention to others, then you will be able to develop that concern. Fikr, that concern. Concern for others. But a lot of things in culture around us are pushing towards a very self-centered. It's just about me and what I am going through. I was teaching a class in New York, and there was a sister attending the class, and she was actually a, was it New York? I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. But there was a class, and there was a sister there, and she was in the field of psychology and social work and therapy. And she was saying that one of the ways that people cope and overcome with some of their own challenges is they make themselves available to serve and tend to the needs of others. And this is like, they've done studies on it. Excuse me. So they've done certain behavioral studies. And they'll find that people might be going through their own sets of challenges, but when they put a pause on tending to that and they care for others, that actually helps them cope with their own challenges better. They develop more gratitude, they develop more gratefulness, and they're able to have more patience with whatever it is that they're experiencing. So sometimes, you know, this is one idea, that if you're going through something really, really difficult, take a moment out and go and help someone else who's suffering from some difficulty. Make yourself available. I remember one time in Medina, I went with one of my teachers, and there was I was having some difficulty with a process. There was an issue that was very problematic at the time, and nobody was helping me out, and it was causing a lot of problems for me and my family. Anyway, so that was like a stressful time. But in the middle of that time period, I went with one of my teachers, and we went to this neighborhood. Now, I used to think Medina was really small, and I knew all the neighborhoods, but he took me to this neighborhood that I had never been to before. And we found a square area. So there were, first of all, the homes were really, really, I don't want to say simple, but they were like really run down. Like a lot of them had just metal sheets as a roof. And then there's like gaps between, so there's some clay bricks, and then there's just like a sheet of metal on top. And that was like their home. And there, in the middle between a lot of these homes, there was this square area. It was just dirt. There was nothing there. It was just dirt. And there was a small masjid in that square. The square was maybe the size of like our masjid parking lot, maybe a little bit bigger, maybe like double that size. And there was a small masjid. The masjid was probably the size of that little room over there, the little courtyard, the little entranceway. Small masjid. It had no electricity. It had no microphone. Maybe 20, 30 people, 40 max would fit inside that masjid. And sitting outside of that masjid were a group of very elderly men, and they were just sitting there in the dirt. And so I had gone with one of my teachers. You know, he was just sharing with me some of his time, and it was enjoyable. We went, we got some food, and then we got some extra food, and we packed it. He said, bring the food. I'm going to take you somewhere. And we went to this neighborhood, and he stayed in the car. He said, go and give this food to those brothers that are sitting there, and tell me what happens. I'm like, okay. They look like they're needy. So I took the bag of food, and I went there, and I gave it to them. And it was like going under a waterfall of like cold water. The amount of gratitude that they displayed, and by the way, it was not a fancy meal. It was nothing special. But they were so grateful. Yeah, and I don't know how to describe. They made you feel like you are the most generous human being on earth. from the gratitude that they displayed. And they were trying to pull me to sit and eat with them that food. I'm like, no, this is for you. It's not from me. It's from the... And so I went back and he said, so what happened? I said, man, they are really happy. And he said, yeah, maybe this is the, you know, maybe this is the first meal they have in a couple of days. Allah knows. But the happiness, wallahi, that moment of that 2-3 minutes with them, you forget every single sorrow that you have in your life. Just because of the gratitude and the happiness that they are displaying. That you, Allah has given you the tawfiq, Allah has used you to put an experience, a breeze, if you will, of happiness into their life. You just completely change their day. And they make you feel it. Another time I went with that same teacher and someone gave him some sadaqah. He said, oh, I think I know someone that can use this now. We went to this old neighborhood where the doors are like lower than the street. Because that's how old the homes are. The streets, they keep adding asphalt. But the door is like lower. So you're on the street and then you go down these steps and then there's the door to the house. It's ajeeb. It's interesting. And we knock on the door and this man opens the door. Old man, he could barely walk. She gave him that sadaqah. Man, he would not let go of him. He was hugging him and kissing him and crying like you just opened for him the doors of Jannah. And it wasn't much. Actually, I know exactly how much it was. You want me to tell you how much that money was? I'll tell you right now. I'll calculate it for you right now. It was $53. We went back to the car. Sheikh said, did you see how happy he was with that sadaqah? I said, man, he was so happy. He said, he's going to live off of that for the next month. Happily. So, the Prophet ﷺ taught us to be aware. Aware of what others are feeling. وَكَذَلِكَ كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يقسم هؤلاء الفقراء بين أصحابه ليطعموهم. عن ابن سيرين قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أمسى قسم ناسا من أهل الصفة بين أناس من أصحابه. فكان الرجل يذهب بالرجل والرجل بالرجلين والرجل بالثلاثة حتى ذكر 10. قال الحسن وما بقي منهم أدخلهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بيته فأطعمهم ما كان عنده. This is a narration that Al-Bayhaqi mentions in شعب الإيمان. And it's also mentioned in the book of Ibn Abi Shayba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the day would come to an end and people are going to go home now, there would be this group of Ahlul Suffa. We talked about them already. And the Prophet doesn't want them to go to sleep hungry. Now he doesn't have enough in his home to feed everyone. If he did, he would have taken care of all of them, but he didn't have. So what does he do? He divides them amongst the other sahaba. And so the narration says, so one person can only afford to take one. So one guy would say, hey, you come with me. You're coming over to my place. Another person may take two. Another would take three. Even sometimes one person would be able to take 10. I'm gonna sponsor 10 people tonight. And then whoever was left, the Prophet ﷺ says, you guys come to my house. And whatever food they had in the house of the Prophet ﷺ, he would share it with them. He would split it with them. So this shows also that sometimes you might not have the resources to take care of everyone that you want to or everyone that is in need, but you can be a organizer. You can coordinate. You know, I might not be able to take care of all these people, so I say, you know what, Hamza, you're going to take this guy, you're going to take him out to dinner. Brian, you take these two out, you guys go for dinner. Salma, you're going to take that one out, you guys are going to go out for dinner. Like that. And that way, we delegate. And as a community, we take care of one another. And so everyone gets fed. Everyone gets taken care of. No one has to go to sleep hungry that night. In another narration, it is said, كَانَ أَبِي مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الصُّفَّةِ فَأَمَرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So this is a child, one of the sons of a man who was part of Ahlul Suffah. He says, my father was from Ahlul Suffah. فأمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بهم فجعل ينقلب الرجل بالرجل والرجلين حتى بقيت خامس خمسة. فقال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم انطلقوا فانطلقنا معه إلى بيت عائشة فقال يا عائشة أطعمينا فجاءت بحشيشة فأكلنا ثم جاءت بحيسة مثل القطاه مثل القط بحيسة فأكلنا ثم قال يا عائشة اسقنا فجاءت بعس so same thing happened with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with أهل الصفة he designated delegated different people go here you go here then five remained and amongst them was the father of this man so he says my father told me I was the fifth so the Prophet said come on guys the rest of you let's go to my house so they went and they went to Aisha's house and the Prophet said hey Aisha give us whatever food you got so she gave us hashishatin it was a dish that they would make from hinta it was something that they would it was a seed they would grind it and puree it and they would make some kind of meal from it at that time and sometimes if they had a piece of meat they would put a piece of meat in it otherwise if they had dates they would put some date in it so it would either be savory or it could be a little on the sweet side and so they sat down and they ate and then she brought hais did you تذكر الحيس في المدينة في السفرة في المسجد تذكر الحيس في المسجد النبوي في المدينة في طعام اسمه الحيس يصنع من التمر مع السمن تمر مع السمن يخلطوا they still make it till now in Medina in the on the sufras in the Prophet's Masjid on the days when people are fasting they used to bring it it's called hais it's like dates and it would be pounded or mixed with some kind of semen, like a fat. And it's a little sticky. It's sweet and it's heavy. It gives you a lot of energy. So she brought that. And so they ate. And so then the Prophet ﷺ said, can you give us something to drink? So she brought a big bowl that they had. And they all drank from it and they shared it. And then after they ate and they drank, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِن شِئْتُمْ بِتُمْ وَإِن شِئْتُمْ إِن طَلَقْتُمْ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ The Prophet said, if you guys wish, you could spend the night here. Or if you wish, you can go back to the masjid. فَقُلْنَا لَا بَلْ نَنْطَلِقُ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ So they said, no, no, we'll go back to the masjid. You know, the house of the Prophet ﷺ was very small. Probably if they had all stayed there, they would have been just side by side, next to each other. So they said, no, no, we'll go back to the masjid after they ate and drank. And even the way the Prophet ﷺ said it, was very gentle. It wasn't like, hey, y'all don't need to go home, but y'all need to get out of my... No. He said, if you guys want to stay, you can stay. I'm not going to blame you. If you guys want to go to the masjid, you can go now. And so they went to the masjid, and they stayed there. So the Prophet ﷺ is showing us in this narration that it doesn't have to be something glamorous. It doesn't have to be something grand and huge. I mean, these dishes that they ate, really simple. It's some kind of grain pounded up. Sometimes they would add some dates. If they had some meat, it would be a piece of meat. It doesn't have to be glamorous. I know sometimes when we have walima or a party or dawat, we want to have the full table spread. And you want to honor your guests and give them the best. That's beautiful. That's generous and kind. But it doesn't always have to be that way. Sometimes it could be very simple. The problem is when our expectations and the standard prevents us from feeding others. So, no, no, I can't have anyone over at the house unless if it's a big, grand meal. That's a problem. We might just have something very simple, but if you share it with someone, it could bring a lot of barakah. And some of the most enjoyable meals that I had in the houses of some of my teachers were some of the most simple. Adas and some bread, some cheese. Oh, wallahi, we were happy. You know, other times we went and mashallah, they had such nice meals. But that it was the sincerity and it was the company that made it special. Yani lentils and cheese and bread sometimes, many times. And it was very, very enjoyable. But what counts is to be genuine and to be sincere and to share with others and to open our doors. أطعم الطعام, feed other people. ويحث أصحابه على ذلك. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم encouraged his companions to do that as well. The next section is quite a long hadith. Actually, the next two are really long. They're nice stories. So we'll save them for next week. We'll save them for next week. But even, let's conclude with this point here, which is related to what we just said. It doesn't always have to be something grand. It doesn't even, sometimes it could be if you don't have anything. But you can be the link. كان صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا لم يكن عنده ما يواسي به الفقير أرسله إلى أحد أصحابه. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself sometimes was in a state of poverty. He didn't even have anything to give. But he would send that needy person to one of his companions. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال جاء رجل إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إني مجهود. A man came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and he said, man, I'm exhausted. I'm hungry. I really need some help right now. فأرسل إلى بعض نسائه فقالت والذي بعثك بالحق ما عندي إلا ماء. So he sent a message to his to some of his spouses and they said, look, all we have at home is water. That's it. Nothing else. ثم أرسل إلى أخرى فقالت مثل ذلك. So he sent a message to another wife and she came back with the same message. All we got is water. That's it. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ألا رجل يضيفه هذه الليلة يرحمه الله. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, would anybody take this guest of mine and Allah will have mercy on them? فقال رجل من الأنصار أنا يا رسول الله. So a man from the Ansar said, I will do it. فانطلق به إلى رحله فقال لامرأته أكرمي ضيف رسول الله. So the man said to his wife, honor the guest of the Messenger of Allah. فقالت ما عندنا إلا قوت صبياني. She said, all I have is the food for our little kids. That's all we got left. فقال هيئي طعامك وأصبحي سراجك ونومي صبيانك إذا أرادوا عشاء فإذا دخل ضيفنا فأطفئ السراج وأريه أنا نأكل فإذا أهوى ليأكل فقومي إلى السراج حتى تطفئيه فهيئت طعامها وأصبحت سراجها ونومت صبيانها ثم قامت كأنها تصلح سراجها فأطفأته فجعل يريانه أنهما يأكلان فباتا طاويين. So he made a plot. He said, listen, put the guest over there and brighten the lantern where he's sitting and we'll sit over here. Put the kids to sleep. Dim the light where we're sitting and we'll pretend like we are eating and give whatever food you have to our guest. And so she did that and they went to sleep hungry. فلما أصبح غدا إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال ضحك الله الليلة أو عجب من صنيعكما. When they came to the Prophet the next morning, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, Allah has you have made Allah happy. Allah has ضحك, Allah has smiled or laughed, or Allah has been amazed at what you did last night. And Allah revealed the verse, ويؤثرون على أنفسهم ولو كان بهم خصاصة. They prefer others over themselves even though they have need. We mentioned this narration before in the chapter of how the Prophet honored his guests. And here it comes again in the section of taking care of fuqara or the needy. And the relevance of this hadith to this particular chapter is that sometimes you might not even be able to host someone, but you can take them to someone that is able to. Always remember the principle, غير القادر قادر على أن يبلغ القادر. If you are not able, then you are at least able to find and deliver the message to someone who is able. And so all we can do at that point is deliver the message. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he didn't have anything, but he didn't turn them away. He said, okay, let's try to find someone who will be able to be of assistance. So if we cannot be of assistance, let's try at least to find others who can come and serve the needs of these needy people. We'll stop there, inshallah ta'ala, and we'll resume next week with these two lengthy narrations, which are very interesting. Any questions before we wrap up, or comments? What do you guys have to say? Yes, Waleed. Did you raise your hand? Are you allowed to borrow money to feed someone else? As in, take a loan? Or ask like on their behalf for charity. Are you allowed to? Yes, you are. It depends on the situation. If there is no other alternative, then yes, that would be praiseworthy. Because you are ultimately you're doing that sadaqah, because eventually you're going to have to pay back that loan. Who's going to pay it back? Okay. And some of the ulama, actually, some of the scholars, contemporary scholars actually, were known to do this. They were known to take out loans under their name to help someone. I actually know someone who witnessed this themselves. One of the scholars actually took a big loan in the tens of thousands to help someone who was in need, and nobody was coming to their aid. And they took that loan and that responsibility upon themselves. So if there is no other option, then that is permissible. You just have to make sure that you are able to pay back that loan. And sometimes, and the other situation is you can ask for sadaqah on their behalf. That is also permissible as well. But it's not for you, so you don't take from it. You are just the messenger, or you're the one delivering. So yes, if you do know someone who is in need, you can be that middle person and deliver that sadaqah or food or wealth or whatever it might be. Just keep in mind that that's a big responsibility. So if you're going to take up that responsibility, give it its right. Make sure that... I'll give you an example. So sometimes people do this, and they don't just do it for one time. They do it often. So the money that they're receiving gets mixed up with their money. That's problematic. That's a serious situation. Be very careful. Because you don't want to come on the Day of Judgment having consumed money that was intended as sadaqah for someone else. You know, so that's the only thing. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yeah. Yes, so the story that we mentioned of Abu Huraira, the long, lengthy story where so many people drank from the same bowl and there was still some left over. This was a miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this type of event happened several times in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, where there would be food or a drink, and if you look at it, you would say this is not enough for a large number of people. But from the barakah, from the blessings, and from the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, it would end up being sufficient for everyone, and sometimes there would be some left over. So yes, that is part of the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, is that something that could still happen nowadays? The Prophet ﷺ is not here. We don't have him sitting with us. Is it something that can happen? Yes, it is. Maybe to not that extent, of course. And it's not a miracle. None of us here are prophets. Anybody who is planning to be a prophet, sorry. Sorry, Hamza. It's not going to work out. You know? Muhammad ﷺ was the last one. But there is still something called barakah. There is still something. And what does barakah mean? Oftentimes when we hear the word barakah, it's translated as blessing. Which, fine, if you want to translate it as that, but that maybe that doesn't give the full meaning. The word barakah in Arabic means an-numu wa ziyada, for something to grow and increase. And the scholars said barakah doesn't always mean that the quantity of something increases, but the manfa'ah, or the fa'ida, or that which you are able to derive from it of benefit can increase. So for example, you can have $10 and I can have $10. It's the same amount of money. It didn't get any more. But subhanAllah, you have barakah in these $10. You are able to achieve with these $10 so much. And my $10 goes like that, and it's like gone. Now what did I get out of it? Man, I don't even know where it went. Right? So barakah varies in level. So that is something we can have. And there are things we can do to increase barakah in our time, in our life, and our wealth. There are things you could do, inshallah. And that will be another discussion for another day. Actually, there was a Jummah khutbah at IOK on that topic. So if you're really interested, you can look it up, inshallah, from a couple of months ago. Any other questions or thoughts? Yes. You'd like to share something? Please. Bismillah. This is something you experienced, you witnessed. So the brother is saying many times in Ramadan. So Ramadan, they have the iftars, right? We have community, or sometimes at somebody's house, right, where they're breaking fast. So people will eat, and then other people come afterwards. Maybe they came late. And there's still some food left, and everybody ends up eating, and everybody ends up getting a share of that food. And sometimes you might think there's not enough. Sometimes you look and say, oh, more people came, prepare the plates. And they're scraping, there's like, no, it's not enough. How many people? 20 people. We only have food for 6. But subhanAllah, everybody ends up eating. How? That's barakah. Allah increases the benefit and the output. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our time and our wealth and our food and our lives and our homes with barakah. May Allah fill our lives with barakah. May Allah allow us to benefit from that which He has given us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beautify us with the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the way that we deal with the poor and the needy and all of those that we come across. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite us with our beloved messenger in the highest levels of Jannah and allow us to drink from his hand a drink after which we will never experience thirst. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. والله أعلم والسلام عليكم. جزاكم الله خير.